Well, how are you, Dave?
Countrywide, a collection of the best writing by RTE presenter Damien O'Reilly from his weekly Irish Farmers Journal columns.
Great to be here in TIP FM. I started out in local radio, so I'm well aware of the great contribution that local radio makes to the community. I started in back in 1993 now at this stage.
Wow.
So when I joined the station there, I was given the job of presenting the sports news, a midday current affairs show, the weekend sport, county council meetings, court sittings, and the farm news.
It's a lot of hats, isn't it?
It's a lot of hats, great grounding. And I had grown up in Dublin, in Castleknock, knew very little about farming, apart from the fact that I spent all of my holidays on my granny's farm and my uncle's farm in Cavan, and that's as close as I came to knowing much about agriculture. Of course, I helped, you know, when it came to making the silage or baling hay or feeding cattle or moving cattle and fencing fields and all of that sort of stuff, like any youngster on a farm. So I loved rural country life, and I loved journalism and sport in particular. And I suppose there was a combination of my love of sport along with my love of the countryside, which merged together to, I suppose, form me in a way and the career that I took. And as I said, when I got the job, one of my duties was to read farm news. So I had to really brush up on my agricultural knowledge, because as listeners will know, and a lot of your listeners are from the farming sector, it's quite technical, unless you're really into it, you can't really follow, you know, the jargon that's used. But anyway, I spent 5 years doing that, began reading the Farmer's Journal as well for a little bit of knowledge. And then an opportunity arose for a job in RTE working in the agricultural department, as RTE had at that stage. So I went in there in 98. I kind of thought, I have a foot in the door now. I'll stay here for a few weeks and I'll mosey my way into sport, which is where I wanted to go. But look, almost 20 years on, I'm still kind of, the core of my day job is a program called Countrywide. The Farmer's Journal came along in 2010 and asked me to write a weekly column, which I've done for the last 7 years. And I just got this madcap idea. You know, I've 350 columns there. I've lent an awful lot of my own life to those columns. Might be nice maybe to explore the idea of putting them together. And hey presto, we have a book. It's an opinion piece every week. Some weeks is better than others. It's about anything that comes into my mind. Some weeks I'm sure people are infuriated by what they read. Other weeks they probably think exactly the same as what Damien's writing there. And I do get that sort of response from people in general. So, and as you see from the book there, I've basically pulled together a variety of different stories that I wrote in the Farmer's Journal, brought them up to date, maybe added to them a little bit, maybe merged a few that are similar. And the first five chapters kind of tell people the story of how a young lad from Castleknock in Dublin ended up in agricultural journalism. So that's the read.
Wow, I suppose our stories aren't dissimilar when I'm a Wicklow guy who moonlights as a guy who lives in Dublin and then has ended up in one of the biggest agricultural and sporting counties in the country.
Yes.
And it does start to get in under your skin, Damien. It
certainly does.
It really does.
Yeah. As I said, my dad is from Ballyjames Stuff and my mother's from the Offaly Kildare border. So I grew up with country parents and with a good appreciation of rural life. And, you know, as I kind of say in the book, I always felt on the 1st of September when I came back to school in Castleknock, in primary school and indeed in secondary school as well, that I had a better summer than any of my friends who may have spent the summer in Spain or France or wherever. I spent it on the farm in Ballyjames Stuff, and I felt it a great privilege and an advantage that I, you know, had this second childhood or this outlet to leave Dublin and go down the country and experience rural life and living on the farm and being out in the fresh air and learning about rural life and about nature and about farming and about animals and all of that. I felt it was a real education which I was privileged to have and which some of my schoolmates didn't, because they didn't have country parents, or if they did, they weren't from a farming background. So if I didn't really enjoy that side of life, I don't think I would have ended up in radio, or certainly not writing in the Farmer's Journal every week or presenting a radio show which is very rural and farming based.
The career thus far, though, has taken you much further afield. Brazil, which I'll get to in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me the story, and I love this in the book, although frightening for you at the time, of being in a tractor in Argentina and getting a phone call.
I'm involved with the International Federation of Agricultural Journalists. we have a Guild of Agricultural Journalists here in Ireland, which was founded over 60 years ago by the late Michael Dillon and Paddy O'Keefe and other people like that.
Our own man Jim Finn is a member, I believe.
Yes, that's yes. right. Jim yeah. would be very much a member and was at the Michael Dillon Memorial Debate, which was held a few weeks ago in Dublin. So every year the International Federation of Agricultural Journalists, there are guilds in a lot of countries around the world, they host a congress in a different country, and in 2012 I think it was in Argentina, and our friends in the Argentinian Guild, they put together a week-long program where we would have a meeting, we would visit farms and find out a lot more about agricultural life in Argentina, along with mixing and mingling with 200 other like-minded journalists from all over the world. It's a really wonderful organization. I've been at a lot of congresses with them in different countries. But when the opportunity arose to go to Argentina, I just jumped at it, and I jumped on a plane, flew to New York, from New York down to Buenos Aires, stayed there for a couple of nights, and then we went to a place called Rosario, where Lionel Messi is from, but it's an agricultural part of the world. And I was on a trailer being driven through this huge ranch, thousands of acres, cattle farm, finding out a little bit more about it, when I got a phone call from the bank to ask me, where was I, that my credit card was being used right, left and centre to buy all sorts of stuff. Basically, I think, you know, I had been scammed down there. I don't want to cast suspicions on the wonderful Argentinian people, but I was careless with my credit card, and it was quite a fright to get. Unfortunately, very sadly as well, so I ended up with no credit card until I would arrive back in Dublin. Luckily, I had some dollars, US dollars, which would keep me going for the next 2 days. But sadly, I got a phone call later that night that my father-in-law had passed away, which meant that I had to organise a flight back to Dublin immediately. But I had no credit card to do it. And it was the middle of the night when I had to wait until it was early morning here, 4 hours ahead, to contact my sister to get her credit card details, Christ, to book a flight, which I took literally hours later at a huge cost. But when I arrived in Paris, the police were waiting for me at the end of the gangway, and they questioned me quite rigorously about where I was going, what I was doing. And I explained to them that I had to come home very quickly because of a bereavement. I think they thought that somebody booking a flight hours beforehand to get out of South America to come back to Europe, there was something fishy about it. But that was a sort of frightening experience. These are plainclothes police officers speaking French. My French is not great. We were every passenger was told to show your passport at the end of the gangway. And when I showed mine, they said, yeah, here he is, this is the guy, and they ushered me to one side.
Almost Escobar-esque.
Yeah, isn't it? I don't actually have that in the book, but it's just now that you mention it, that was that experience of going to Argentina and only actually spending 3 or 4 days there before I had to cut it short. A few hours earlier, I got another phone call to say that my great friend and colleague Sean McConnell of the Irish Times had dropped dead of a heart attack. Yeah. So within the space of 4 hours, these two people had died while I was thousands of miles away in Argentina. So yeah, it was quite stressful, and you know, pales into insignificance the idea of your credit card being scammed. But it's amazing, just that, you know, you got to be careful with your credit cards, giving your details. But fair play to the bank, they were on the ball, and they were able to stop any more purchases of, I don't know, what it was, all sorts of different
things.
Wasn't
Argentinian steak, was it?
No, it wasn't, no. Which I wasn't overly impressed by. People talk about the Argentinian steak. Give me an Irish steak any day.
Good to hear. What's your favourite type of steak, actually?
Ribeye.
Oh, lovely, because you get the flavour from the
ribeye medium
going into
it a little bit.
Lovely.
That's it, yeah.
On a similarly scary note, and I know this is a story you've told many times, and when we first met, was it 2, maybe 3 years ago?
Yeah.
We shared a sparkling water in Dublin. You told me this story and opened my eyes. You were a young fella, and you were awoken in the middle of the night, and you probably know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, yeah. My father was the manager of a famous pub in Dublin, which some of your listeners who probably, you know, studied in Dublin or worked in Dublin back in the 60s and 70s would have known, because it was quite a famous focal point, maybe not so much now, but certainly was back then, was the Harp Bar in O'Connell Bridge, which has the big Heineken sign down the side of it. That's O'Connell Bridge House, but at the bottom is the pub called the Harp Bar. It was a very famous watering hole for many people. And my father was the general manager there from 1966 till about 1989. But in 1986, it was the 10th of March, it was Saturday night / Sunday morning, I was 12 going on 13, the oldest of four. My two brothers were in the same room, and my sister and her best friend were in another room, and my parents were in their own room. And at about 1 a.m., I woke up to hear my mother screaming and shouting and all sorts of a commotion going on. I really didn't know what was happening. So I jumped out of bed and I ran in, naturally enough, to see what was wrong. To see five armed and masked men there, and my father trying to beat them off. They stood on his toes and broke his toes. They broke his nose and they split his head open. They basically were looking to take him away in one of these so-called tiger kidnaps, bring him into the harp, get him to open up the safe while we would be held captive. But the plan went out the window because he was so badly injured, which meant then for the next 6 or 7 hours we were held captive. We were eventually all brought in one by one into a spare room and tied up and gagged. As I said, my two younger brothers, my younger sister and her friend, my mum and dad, all around the bed, and we were tied with some of Dad's ties and gagged. Three of the men went in and did the job, and two of them stayed standing over us with guns.
Your dad was quite a brave man in that situation. He resisted them, didn't he?
He did. I mean, well, it was natural instinct. I mean, you know, they snuck into the house, and before my parents knew it, here were five men standing over them. So my mother awoke first to see this nightmare scenario of armed and masked men. So the natural instinct of my father was to jump out of the bed and try and fend them off. And he suffered badly for that, you know. So, yeah, a nightmare episode. And unfortunately, you know, Dave, a lot of your listeners live in fear of something like that happening, as we know. And there are these gangs, and people in Tipperary have been the victims of them. And, you know, we saw a case last week where three men were put away, and rightly so, for the terror that they visited on people around this region. So, look, I've been there, a nasty experience. I remember it as well as yesterday. But thankfully, you know, there's never been any other events like that. But it is a frightening experience that anybody that has ever gone through a burglary like that.
I was just flicking through your book, which is the best bits, I suppose, from your musings in the Irish Farmer's Journal. And another section caught my eye, very funny. It's how you address your mother. Like me, it's ma'am.
I think it's an Irish thing, is it?
It's a country Irish thing.
No, I always refer to my mother as ma'am or mammy. I never did the mummy or mommy or mum or mom, which other, again, it marked me out as being different from my friends in Castleknock and Dublin. But yeah, I think there's a chapter there which I wrote for Mother's Day a few years ago, because I was asked to do so by Mairead Lavery. But it kind of explains, I suppose, how there are several, I suppose, depends where you come from. You know, some people refer to the mother as mother. They say, yes, mother, no, mother.
And what I really don't understand are people who refer to their parents by first names.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit strange.
It is strange. I do know some people that refer to their parents by their first name. My daughter's beginning to do that to me now, actually, but that's...
How old is your daughter?
She's going on 16.
That could be the reason.
And she calls me Damo.
Right, okay.
Usually with her mobile phone stuck in my face so that she can Snapchat it to her friends, which seems to be a new... I'm sure a lot of parents listening that have teenagers, you know, I can't get to the bottom of this. She just... It's some app that she has on her phone anyway, where you take moments in the day or whatever.
So I'm usually the story, or
I'm usually
part
yes,
of the story.
I'm usually the butt of a lot of her jokes.
Unknown to you, a lot of
yes,
the time.
Yeah, yeah.
South America, to get back to that, mm-hmm. And you got back there.
Yeah, well, I did. As I was saying to you earlier, you know, I loved sport. I suppose my love of sport and Gaelic football in particular, and growing up going to watch Cavan play rather than Dublin, which really means that I'm a Cavan supporter, not a Dublin supporter. Again, another weird part of my upbringing in that regard. But my dad was a Cavan man, great GA man, and that's where I went to all the games. So I developed this huge love of football and sport, and I was a bit nerdy in collecting match programs and statistics and all of that, and that probably then metamorphosized itself into me writing and doing match reports, which I did for the Cavan Leader newspaper when I was 15 or 16 one summer, which was edited then by a man called Eugene McGee, who famously managed Offaly to win the 82 All-Ireland against Kerry. And Eugene was a journalist in his own right and owned the Cavan and Longford Leader. So that's where I cut my teeth. So I loved sport. When I went into RTE, I made it known to the sports guys, to Roy Willoughby, who's the then head of sport, look, you know, I'm available to do match reports, whatever. And they said, great. So I did a few match reports on Sundays and went to games and enjoyed that. And then in 2008, I got a call from Roy asking me to go to Beijing as part of the RT team, which was a fantastic experience, probably the highlight of my career, spending 4 weeks in Beijing. Hard work now, needless to say, but really enjoyable. And then again in 2016, I was asked to go as part of the team to Rio. Not as enjoyable, I have to say.
Okay.
Certainly from a sporting perspective, I was there to interview Annalise Murphy. I was there with her family as she won her medal. I interviewed the O'Donovans, and we famously got them the pizza that they talked about on that interview. I was standing 6 foot
that
away
was you,
from them.
Was it?
Yeah. We ordered them because they hadn't eaten. And this was 7 hours after they won their medal, and I was there to meet and greet them, along with Kleena, who was heading up the RT team. So we were on this rooftop as they were being interviewed by Evandy Quillen and then Dara Maloney. People will remember the famous podium pants interview. I was standing 6 foot away from them, and then sat on a pizza with them. So they were the two highlights. But Rio did not want these games. The people of Rio did not want them. It's a poor country. A lot of money was spent in it. You know, when the wheels went up on the plane as I left Rio, I breathed a sigh of relief that I was getting out of there. I really didn't enjoy those games.
It was a rush job.
There was security everywhere. Everywhere you looked, there were guys with machine guns. I heard a controlled explosion another evening with Greg Allen. I was waiting on our shuttle bus in a place like Bus Hours multiplied by 10 times.
Right. Where Greg, the golf maestro.
Yes. Yes. So we were waiting at night time, and this bus arrived in with journalists on it coming from one of the venues as we were waiting to go off to another venue or maybe back to our hotel, and all the windows were shattered where all the journalists were lying on the ground where they'd been shot at. So there was that menacing kind of, the stadiums were not really finished in some cases. There weren't big crowds anywhere. And then the whole Pat Hickey stuff as well. It wasn't a nice games, I have to say, unfortunately, whereas Beijing was fantastic.
A man who really, really, it was his passion when he got the opportunity to go. I'm just wondering, I presume you met him many times, but the late Jimmy McGee.
Ah, yeah, Jimmy. Lord rest him, I was at his in the funeral home a few weeks ago. Jimmy was, I met Jimmy first in, I think it was 1989. I was introduced to him as a young journalist, and it was a great privilege to meet him. And, as I said recently in a piece, I met him that day for the first time, was introduced to him, and he never forgot my name after that, which was great when I went to RTE. And he was just a great character. Jimmy was a gentleman. But whenever you met him or you saw him coming walking towards you, you always had to think of a joke or a story or something, a bit of scandal, because he loved the old gossip. Just a really warm, great guy. But I'll never forget actually sharing a taxi with him in Beijing. And Jimmy proceeded to jump into the front seat and start talking to the taxi driver, who had no word of English. Not a word of English now. I started talking to him as if he was the local taxi driver in Longford. Because he asked him, how was the minor game going? We were on our way to a boxing match, actually. And we had handed the taxi driver the address, so he knew where to bring us. And the taxi driver kept responding to Jimmy in Chinese, and Jimmy kind of pretended that he knew what he was saying and asked him, did he think Mullin Yachta were going to win the senior championship on Sunday, and what part of Mullaghorn was his parents from, and all of this. It was a full-blown conversation that it's such a pity we didn't record it. It was hilarious. But that's the sort of character Jimmy was. Mm. He'd be greatly missed.
He didn't take life too seriously, but took sport very seriously.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Yeah. Great guy.
Finally, Damien, Tipperary memories. Have you got connections in the county?
Do I have Tipperary? I'd say I was on Manny's the Farm in Tipperary. Some of your listeners are probably laughing now. I was probably in their kitchen because, the great thing about my job is I get around the country. I'm actually heading now over to Crows. To the Crove over in Dundrum. They are getting the turkeys ready for Christmas, so I'm heading over there once I leave here. Literally killing two birds with one stone while I'm down here to do the interview with you. I'll get a bit of work done as well for Saturday morning. But I'm on my way down this morning. Actually, I was listening to Jackie Cahill, and I know Jackie quite well, not through politics, but certainly through the ICMSA.
On Tip Today with Ryan Curry.
He was on this morning, and I know Jackie very well, and I've shared many of the pints with Jackie in Horse and Jockey and round Thurles as well. But I would have been on a lot of farms, and I was absolutely thrilled as well last night to hear that young Stephen Cullinan had been found happy and well. his dad, Tim, is someone I know, and I've interviewed Tim as well many times. And
through the IFA, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's a pig farmer of note and a very well-respected man. And so naturally enough, you know, like everybody else that knows a family like that going through something like that, you know, it was a great relief to hear late last night. I got a text that he had been found. So look, Tipperary is a wonderful county in terms of, actually, I do have connections now that you mention it. My sister is married to a McCormick. And the McCormicks are from just south of Holy Cross and Thurles. I just can't remember. It's on the tip of my tongue, but people who know...
The texts are going to flood
in. They're famous undertakers, and they've a pub there. Anyway, it's just after forgetting, but they would have... Your listeners will know the McCormicks that owned Hanlon's Corner pub in Dublin there, Jim McCormick. Well, his son is married to my sister, so the big, strong Tipperary family. And then there was actually, I should mention, I did mention my sister's best friend who was with us the time we were robbed. Her name is Niamh O'Mahony and her father is Don O'Mahony from Dundrum. Okay. And a big, big Tipperary hurling man. So big Don O'Mahony would be well known to a lot of your listeners as well, certainly in hurling circles. And he's from originally the O'Mahony's from Dundrum. So of course, look, at I could keep going. I know people in every county in Ireland. It's a great Irish tradition, isn't it? When you meet somebody abroad, you keep talking to them until you find somebody that you know in common.
I knew there was a Premier County button I could push there.
Yeah. But no, if I thought about it a bit more now, I could give you a lot more connections. But it's a great farming county, obviously. And you know, as I said, I've conducted hundreds of interviews on many countless farms and always got a great welcome whenever I arrive down here.
Well, you're always welcome back here anytime. Yeah. A pleasure as always. And this is just such a great read. If you want more of that, you've heard him telling the stories. He does it in print just as beautifully. Damien O'Reilly's Countrywide, a collection of the best writing by the man himself from his weekly Irish Farmers Journal columns. Perfect for Christmas. Thanks a million.
Dave, thank you.